Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Well, let's check in on Lansing. Here to talk about a couple of the issues in the news are Ken Sikkema, Senior Policy Fellow with Public Sector Consultants, and he's the former Republican Majority Leader in the State Senate. He joins us by Skype. And Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. Governor Rick Snyder signed legislation, a tax incentive package designed to benefit big companies that create a lot of jobs. One that Michigan wanted was Foxconn Technology Group. And on the day the governor signed the bill, Foxconn announced it was building its plant in Wisconsin. Ken, Foxconn is talking about 13,000 jobs, $10 billion worth of investment. What does losing Foxconn say, if anything, about the tax incentives Michigan is offering?
Well, it's a huge project, and, you know, congratulations to Wisconsin. I'm sure it's disappointing, particularly to Governor Snyder. And, you know, this debate over tax incentive programs and packages will continue in Michigan. But Wisconsin, evidently, either through their tax incentive package or for other reasons, simply had a better deal.
Vicki, the governor told the Detroit News that Foxconn's story isn't over for Michigan. It still might be considered for some project. But he wouldn't say that the state is in negotiations, just talking. I'm not sure how you split those hairs, but what does that all mean?
I think he's looking at applications that relate to auto vehicle manufacturing. But the tax incentive is bigger than just Foxconn. I mean, we can talk about the irony of the Foxconn situation, but really the program was designed to lure businesses to the state of Michigan and to provide a way for them to capture taxes and hold on to those taxes, which makes it much easier. This program makes it much easier for the state to control how many dollars are on the table and to actually track them, because the system relies on the new job provider to withhold state income taxes from the wages of the higher wage jobs that it creates. I know that sounds convoluted, but that's the way it works.
So basically, these employees' income taxes won't go to the state and then back as incentives to the company. They'll just go straight to the company.
Right, and then the company reports that. Despite the tax incentives that were created in the Good Jobs Package, Amazon came in with a separate program from the state of Michigan to build distribution centers in Wayne County and create new jobs in the state of Michigan. So one could argue that how many incentive packages do we need, and did we need this new one? I still bemoan the fact that we cut the movie and digital filming tax credits, which could have created thousands of jobs, ancillary industries in the state of Michigan. And we let that go back when Governor Snyder was elected, and he cut that program in 2011. And that would have yielded great results. And we forget that our economy is not just based on industry and manufacturing, but also on the arts and the creative talents of the people we hope to draw to the state.
In another issue, I think most people think laws are made either by the legislature approving bills and the governor signing them, or the people sign petitions to get something put on the ballot for a vote. But there's another way, and the Associated Builders and Contractors of Michigan are attempting that route. The group is gathering petition signatures, and then we'll turn it over to the legislature for approval, and that's that. No signature for the governor necessary. Ken, why did the writers of the state constitution offer this route for making law?
Well, the concept of the citizens initiating a law, which is why it's called initiative, really came out of the progressive era of over 100 years ago. And a number of states, Michigan being one, a lot of them in the Northwest as they were actually forming, felt that they needed a way for average citizens to kind of bypass the legislature. At the time, there was a feeling that the legislature around the country, legislatures in the plural, was kind of dominated by big economic interests like trusts and railroads. So they created this mechanism where citizens can go out and get signatures, get a law in front of the legislature, and the legislature has 40 days to adopt it or reject it or do nothing. But in the case of rejecting or doing nothing, it then goes to the ballot for the citizens to make an ultimate decision, and it bypasses the governor. The governor doesn't have a role in this.
So this Associated Builders and Contractors of Michigan want to repeal the prevailing wage law. What do you think of that?
Repealing the state's prevailing wage law, which basically says on state construction projects where state money's involved, you have to pay regional union wages. That was adopted back in the 60s in Michigan, and repealing it's been on the Republican wish list for many, many years. The stars have never really aligned for them to do it. You would think with a Republican House and Senate, Republican governor, that the stars are there, but Governor Snyder is opposed to repealing it, so they're taking this other route that the Constitution allows for them.
Vicki, this attempt to repeal the state prevailing wage law, I'm just wondering, why wouldn't we want workers to be paid decently for work on government projects?
Well, you know, that's my mantra. When people have more income and more disposable income, they buy things and money recirculates throughout the economy. And there's some big questions here with the repeal of prevailing wage through the process that this group is aiming toward. First of all, we have people who are witnesses, including MERS reporters from MERS News, who have said that the petition gatherers, signature gatherers, are lying to people about what the petition is about. That's a serious charge. And are people signing a petition without reading it and just assuming that what they're signing is what they're being told they're signing when it's not? For example, people are telling signers that this is a bill to save school districts money or to increase the minimum wage, which it certainly is not. But despite those problems, there's real concerns about repealing the prevailing wage as it stands when you're dealing with state money. Does this also mean that when state dollars are involved in federal road construction projects and the federal government requires prevailing wage, does that mean that the state can go ahead and pay prevailing wage on those contracts, or does it mean the state is prohibited, in which case it loses its federal match dollars, which makes construction of roads and bridges actually much more expensive in the state of Michigan if you leave those federal dollars on the table? I don't know what the answer to that question is. Some would say that it means that, no, it's only for state contracted projects. But I'm not sure, and I don't think anybody at this point, short of going to a judge and jury, know what the answer is.
That is Vicki Barnett, a former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. We also heard from Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow with Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislator. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lester.